Good morning, friends, visitors, church family. So today, as you know, is February 27th, Sunday. Shocker. Just so you guys know, there's a annual business meeting after church. Anyone can stay after lunch regardless of membership status. So whether you are or aren't a member and want to know a little bit more about what's happening in our church, what's been going on in our church over the past year, I highly recommend visiting. There will be a light lunch after church. So if you would like to attend, we would be happy to have you. Men's Bible study every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. It is a wonderful chance for the men of our group to get together and have a little bit of fellowship with each other and not only pray, but get into the Word of God. I'm not sure, are you still in Romans or have you moved past that? Still in Romans. There's still a chance to get your infill of Romans with your brothers. Wednesday, March 2nd is a prayer meeting. Well, every Wednesday is prayer meeting from 7 to 8:30 p.m. That's a chance for everybody to come together as a church and pray for not only our church members, but our town, our area, and even our country and countries across from the world with the current events that are going on. And the Soup for Souls, March 13th, following church, all donations support the 2022 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. So if you have any questions about Operation Christmas Child, Kathy Dunham is the person to speak to, and she is a wonderful, wonderful ministry that she has there. It is truly amazing. We still need 2 to 3 volunteers to make pie or soup. So if you can make pie, if you can make soup, we would love to have either a pie or a soup for souls. You can contact Kathy at 593-2230 to help. And I believe that is all.
And there she is. And apparently I'm not on. Hello, I guess I'm not. But what Shay and family have a wonderful announcement.
Yeah, we're not having another baby. In case anybody had a hint of that being the news, that's not it at all. I don't want to disappoint you, but it's still good news. Devin isn't here. He sends his love. He's homesick, but otherwise, all's good on the family front. Back in September, actually it's been a full year of discussion, and in September I had the opportunity to interview with the board of directors at REHEMA, Board of Trustees, really, the U.S.-based office that is primarily responsible for fundraising. And one of the fantastic things that I've noticed every month at our virtual board meeting, there are board members in New York, PA, North Carolina, Texas, so we're from all over. Thank God for the internet, you know. And so every month we meet, and whenever Jonathan, who would be Irv and Ruth's son, who is the sole employee here on the U.S. side, whenever he starts the meeting, he gives us updates on the kids. Now, it's a home, right? Like, you don't update people on your lives based on numbers, and neither do they. So despite the fact that there are way more kids than any of you have, there's just a very, like, tender and personal and family approach to how they do things. And as part of that, they want board members to know these people, know kids and adults who work there, and the kids who are becoming adults, to know them by name and face. And so in June, I have an opportunity to go visit REHEMA. And I am very excited. Yeah, it seems pretty soon. It's like not very far away. Yeah, we're talking like three months and a week or something like that. And I also have the opportunity to take my son with me. So Harrison will be joining me. Yep, we're pretty excited to experience it together, but also to shape some like worldview. You know, there are times that I personally, the last couple of years here for our church with people departing, and it's brought up some sorrow and some questions about, like, what is the foundation of my faith? And things in the world and politics, what is the foundation of my faith? And the one thing that has not been shaken is that God calls pure and true religion to care for widows and orphans. And so there's been no doubt. There's been some doubts about some other parts, not the existence of God, but there's no doubt in my mind that Rahema is doing just something that is pure and true. And so to be part of it on the U.S. side is awesome, and it's an extra treat to be able to travel and see them. So, yeah, and so we'll be letting people know a little bit more of the details by letter. It's certainly a support-raised situation. So Harrison and I together will learn about what it means for the body to function together, not just as going, but as sending as well. So, yeah.
I have a question. There are people here that went to
Rahema. There are. Does anybody? Well, Pastor Tom, yeah. There was a trip maybe, it's probably been about 20 years now. 2001, 21 years ago. Nope, I think everybody who would have gone has moved on in one form or another. Yeah, so Tom, of course, he's sat on the board for Rahema. He's ministered with Irv. He's got a long history. He could probably tell you way more than I could. But I'm hoping to become quite both knowledgeable and wise about the workings at Rahema. So, yeah, so thank you. Well, I'm sure we'll have time for prayer and sending. And if you think of a special prayer for those that maybe will be remaining stateside, it would be a really big blessing to us. Yeah. Yeah. It's support, financial support from the body. That is correct, yeah. And in the letter that I send out, the details will be that it's actually kind of a burden on the Rahema U.S. office, which has a sole employee. It's a team of 10 to filter all of the monies through their accounts. It's not a financial, error to do so. It's just a lot of accounting work and communication work. So instead, they ask us to have a sending church, because then only the church is responsible for one piece of the pie. So if anybody, I mean, again, we'll send out information, but if anybody does want to support the trip, we'll be raising about $5,400 for the two of us. Most of that is plane cost. So you can pray that there will be some miraculous deal on flights, and it'll cut that cost a whole bunch. But that money can be filtered through the church, so it won't come to me directly. But we'll...
How should people...
It would probably be in the memo. You can put Kenya trip in the memo, and that would probably be, or Rahema trip. If you put Rahema, we support them as missionaries, and that would get a little confusing. Or you can just, if you just clip a note to your check, that'll be fine as well. Yeah. No need to put my name on it. I think that gets a little funky with the IRS. But, yeah. Thanks.
So, as you can see, you barely get the announcement out of your mouth, and people are ready to
thank you.
support you. So yes, and we'll be praying, and as the time gets closer, we will surround you with prayer. Amen. I want to encourage you, there are opportunities to invest in the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about giving. I'm talking about investing. There's a big difference between giving and investing. Giving, where you just put it out there, but when you invest in someone, then God can use it, and we become co-laborers. So there's some wonderful opportunities, and we have some wonderful opportunities in our body to invest. I'm just thrilled with that opportunity, Shay, and I know the church is going to jump all over it. And we're excited for you. We're also excited. I am really ringing. Is it my imagination or am I really ringing? We also have our... Oh.
No, you're fine. I'm going to shut off the monitors.
Oh, thank you. All right. We also have Tom and Judy Brazell, and their trip is a little bit more imminent than Shay's. You can share when you come up in just a minute. I think you're leaving sometime this coming week, I suspect. I would ask you as we go forward, if you're excited and you want to start supporting things right now, you can do it. But remember, it is you're investing. You're not just giving. And cast your bread upon the waters. the scripture says, and after many days it'll return to you. We don't give to get, we give to invest and see God move in wonderful ways in people's lives. So today when we take our offering, if you want to bless the Brazels on their trip, I would ask that you can put something in for them and ongoing as we go forward with Shay and Harrison, and you want to support their trip, we're very excited to do that as well. We'd like to bless them. Rita, you had something you wanted to share. Come on up. I didn't forget.
Okay, this last week, the Lord put a song on my heart. I'm not going to sing it, but I did some research on it. And it's an old song, but some of you might remember it. Stuart Hamblin, he was the son of a Methodist preacher. And in 1949, his whole life changed. His wife persuaded him to go to a Billy Graham tent meeting. And the next morning, he went to see Billy Graham to talk to him, to see what this was all about. And that day, he surrendered his life for the Lord. And he was also a cowboy, a Western actor, singer, songwriter, and he even spoke on the radio. And after he found the Lord, him and his wife went to visit another couple that they were friends with and everything. And he was telling his friend, you know, it's really amazing. It's no secret what God can do with a person's life once they have accepted him. And his friend was John Wayne. And before they left, he said, you know, you should write a song about that title. So he went home. And it was about midnight, and he started writing. The clock was chiming. So this is some of what he wrote. There's two verses, and it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to even write a song, to compose a song. And I won't, like I said, sing it, but the chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell, was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And that is so true. Once you've found the Lord, it is no secret what God can do to work through you, to help others come to the family of God. And like I said, it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to write a song. And he started when the clock was chiming, and then it chimed again. And he couldn't believe it. He got up and looked at the clock. He wrote that song in 17 minutes. And God can change your life quicker than 17 minutes. So tomorrow when you get up, you know, you put on the full armor of God and have God work through you. And it is no secret what God can do.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Oh, what God can do in an instant. We're going to take our offering. Thank you.
Oh, no, I got to have that one.
Oh, Ed has his favorite bowl. Yeah. Oh, okay. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we have people that we can invest in, and we trust them and know that God, you're going to work in them. And Father, today I think of this lovely announcement for Shay and Harrison. And Lord, we think of Tom and Judy Brazell and the trip they'll take and the encouragement that they will bring to people who are laboring in the fields. And God, we pray, we thank you that we have the chance to be co-laborers with them. And Father, we also need to be able to keep the lights on and the heat on in our buildings. So Father, we thank you that we can invest in this too. And when we do it, we're investing in people's lives to bring blessing to many. Thank you for the chance to give. We pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we're very happy to have Brother Tom Brazell with us that's going to come and share the word. Tom, while they're collecting the offering, you can come and...
Good morning, everyone. I just need to say that this morning's time of worship was very, very special. And thank you, Pastor Dave, for leading that. And thank the Lord for his presence that showed up while we were in his presence. He's always here, but we don't always have the sense of him being here. But I hope you did this morning. Concerning Rahema, Natasha, who is the director, there's two campuses for the children's home. One's in Nairobi and one's in Bukura. And Natasha is the director of the home in Bukura. Forgot how many kids are there. But she is stranded in Kiev right now. She's Ukrainian and she went home and she is stranded in Kiev. And so nobody knows anything much more than she's stranded there. And so if you think of Natasha, please pray for her. Judy is doing grandma duty today, so she's not here. She's not sleeping in. She's just in another place. We left to go, and you all prayed for us, so I don't want to go through all of that. But we got about, 8 or 9, 10 days into our trip last time, and I came down with COVID, had to come home, and got over COVID, I thought, and then we got blood clots, and it's been just a crazy month or so. But we're good now, and we're leaving Wednesday to pick up where we left off. It'll be a bit of a abbreviated. We're not going to be gone as long. We just couldn't fit it into other plans, but we'll be gone till about the 20th or 21st of March. So I guess that's 2.5 weeks or so. So we're just going to be out and visiting pastors, missionaries, and retired ministers who are out there in the field. Many of them are facing a lot of discouragement during these days. And as I've said before, we don't go with the answer for anything, but sometimes just sitting with someone and letting them unload on you is all it takes for them to do another few laps. So that's what we're going to be doing. And appreciate your prayer. Seems like the devil wanted to stop us and kind of delayed us a little bit, but we're on the road again next week. So I don't want to do a whole lot of talking about anything other than the word. I was a little concerned about fitting it in, but now I realize we have lunch, so we're good probably till 5 o'clock today. So I think all that pressure is off of me. I think I would call what I'm going to share with you today a positional message, that is, to help us position ourselves for, I guess you would say, the unknown. We're in a very uncertain time right now, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know where you have been. But we are it's clear biblically we are in the last days. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, he said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about when he said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. So the last days were really ushered in a couple thousand years ago, and we have been living in a progressive last days up until now. One of the things it says in Mark 13:8, he talks about how there's going to be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and all that. And he says, this is but the beginning of birth pangs. Now, for you ladies who have had babies, you know that labor begins, and as it progresses in frequency and intensity. And so that's where we have been going over these years. Things are progressing in frequency and intensity. Things are fairly intense right now. So we are living in the last days, and many of us, I believe, will actually see the return of the Lord Jesus, and these are the days that we live in. And so I don't want to get into an end-time message, but I want to get into a positional message. Whether we're in the last of the last days or whether we're wherever we are, we need to be positioned to be in the right place with the Lord. And so the verse I want to start with, we can find in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. And this, of course, the book of Revelation is a last days book, and it's about the things that are happening during the last days. And it says, "These," and these are the enemies of the kingdom of God, "these will make war with the Lamb," who is Jesus, "and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." We could put a period there and say amen, and we have a good sermon for the morning. He will overcome them. "And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." So the ones that are going to be standing with him in these last days, he defines as those who are called, those who are chosen, and those who are faithful. So we are called, okay? We're called to relationship, being born again. John 17:3 says eternal life is that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the Son. The eternal life is not escaping hell, although we do escape hell. But it's not what it's about. It's about knowing, having a relationship with God. Mark 13, when Jesus was appointing the 12, the first thing he appointed them was that they would be with him. So the first calling that we have as believers is to be in relationship with him. And it's not a religious thing, it's a relational thing. And many religious people do religious things, but as we see in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" And I'll declare to them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so the first call for us to be positioned to be with Jesus in these days and through eternity is answering that first call, and that's a call to relationship. And I think probably all of us have answered that call and said yes. If you haven't, or if you've walked away from it, or if you're listening on the video, on the internet someplace, God is calling you to relationship with him. But he's also called us, once we are in that relationship, he's called us to service. He's called us to fulfill a role. And in Hebrews chapter 5, we see this little teaching about the high priest and how he says no one takes this honor to himself to function in a role, but he who is called of God as Aaron was. And so there's this call to service, but our calls to service vary with who we are. We're not all called to do the same thing the same way and all of that. If we were all called to be lead pastors, then this would be a very confusing house. But what we have is we have someone who is called to that and has said yes to that. And yet all of us still have a calling upon our lives to serve. In Romans 1:1, Paul says that he is a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Now, a bondslave is a servant who is not subjugated into servitude, but one who is chosen to be in servitude. It's by choice. A bondslave has with it the idea of choice, and you can see that in Exodus 21. So Paul says that he's a bondslave, a slave by choice, a servant by choice of Jesus, called to be an apostle. So he was a servant by choice, but how he serves, that's God's choice. See, we can't say, "Lord, I choose to serve you, and I'll take Pastor Dave's place." Can't, you know, that we don't get that. We can say, I choose to serve, and then we listen for him to set us in the place he wants us to be, and so he will do that. And so we get to choose, to serve, but he tells us how we are to serve. And each of us, I look around the room, we all have different gifts, we all have different things that interest us or concern us and so on. And I think I told you, in fact, I'm positive I have, maybe some don't remember this, but sister, I agree, I appreciated your saying you weren't going to sing, because when I first got saved, I wanted to be a singer. I played my guitar and I was doing things and I wanted to be a singer. The problem is, as I've said before, is I can't sing. You know, this was a major issue as far as being a singer. God did not equip me for that, although I truly wanted to be that. But I had to come to the sad realization that that was not my calling. So now I just sit out there and I sing real loud with everybody else. But I don't impose that, and I don't expect to get great crowds if I tried to. There was one guy in one of my churches that he was a fabulous handyman. He was the kind of guy that you really want around, because of something began to go wrong, you could call him and he would show up, and in a few hours he'd have the thing fixed, and just amazing. And then he went to this conference, and somebody came and prophesied over him that he was called to be a pastor. And from that day to now, he has been searching for someone else to see that he has the gift to pastor. And the reason he can't find someone else to identify that is because it's not apparent. He doesn't have, if you listed the skills and talents and the mix of things that you need to do that position, he doesn't have too many of them. And so he kind of got off of his thing that he was doing very well at. It wasn't good enough for him. He didn't think it was right. He wanted to be in a different place. And so when somebody said, you are called to be a pastor, he latched onto that, and now he has been wandering and gone church after church after church after church, and we're talking about more than 40 years of this poor guy just never really finding his place. He had it, but then he let it go. So not all callings have to do with preaching. We look around this room and people have all kinds of different gifts, and what we need to do is we're called to fulfill the gift that God has put in us. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a whole teaching on the body of Christ. But one of the things it says there, it says, but he has set the members in the body as it pleases him. And so he remains Lord over all of these things. So we are called to serve, but we are called to serve in a way that he has called us to. And I believe many Christians live their lives with no really sense of calling in their daily life. They really don't think about it that much. There's a word that I like to use, and it's living missionally. That is, when you get up in the morning, you realize I have something, I'm serving God, and we enter into that day with a sense that, God, I'm available at any time to exercise the gift you have given me to do what you want me to do wherever I am. And if we get up with that in the morning, our senses are keen. We're looking for what will God do with us. So many times people, just Christians even, they just, their aims and their goals and all those things are not really all that kingdom orientated. They are someplace else. So I would just encourage you to recognize that you are called of God to serve. Those who are with him are the called. And if we're called to serve, we just need to say yes to that service. Lord, how do you want to use me today? So the second thing is, we're chosen. The interesting thing about being chosen is many are called, but few are chosen. That's what this says. So there's obviously more to this than just the calling of God. In Matthew 22, 11 through 14, we see this story. I'm not reading all these, just giving you the references, but we see this story where this nobleman gave a feast, it was a wedding, and he invited people to come, and somebody came in, and instead of wearing their suit they probably came in with their work clothes from the field or whatever. And he said, friend, how did you come here without, why did you come dressed like that? What are you doing? This isn't important. And so the guy was speechless. The king said to his servants, bind him. This is a harsh king here. Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness. Whoa. But then he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I don't want to tear that whole verse apart because there's some mysteries in there that would take some time to look at. But what I do see very plainly is that if we are called and we're going to answer that call, whether it's a call to relationship or a call to service, there are requirements that go with that call. The calling in itself is not the end of the story. For salvation, we need to repent. You can't say, hey, I want to come to Jesus, but I don't want to change anything in my life. I want to live the way I've always lived. I want to continue on with all the sin, but boy, I sure'd like to go to heaven, you know. No, there's repentance and there's faith that must be exercised. And for service, there's preparation and there's character. There's integrity. There's obedience. There's things that if we're going to serve Him, we have to embrace. We can't just come any old way. You see that in Exodus 3 when Moses was out in the wilderness and there was a burning bush out there and God had this burning bush out there to attract Moses. As Moses came at the invitation of the Lord, as he got closer, the Lord spoke from the bush and he says, don't come any closer. Something you need to do first. Take off your shoes. And so there was an act of obedience as he took off his shoes. We see another story where the sons of Aaron, there was a special mixture of incense, a recipe for this incense that would be burned before the Lord. But the sons of Aaron thought they had a better recipe. And so they made up their own. And God dealt with them harshly. We can't come any old way. We had Ananias and Sapphira. Boy, what would happen if Ananias and Sapphira happened in the church today? But Ananias and Sapphira, they thought that they could lie to God, and they, you know the story. I won't go through the whole story, but all I'm saying is that when we come, we have to come with some honesty. We have to come with integrity. We have to come in the way that He tells us to come. We have to serve in the way He tells us to serve. He still is the head of this thing called the church. And he actually thinks he has the right to tell us what to do. So for some people, if you're going to, and I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but if you're called to do something, you know, we can't do everything. Let me do away with that myth. You can't do everything. And so if everything we do, there are choices. And the choices that we make will open up some things and close down other things. It's just the way it is. And if we're going to serve the Lord, He sometimes puts restrictions upon our lives that have nothing to do with sin. There was a phrase that used to be pretty common. I don't hear it a whole lot anymore, but it used to be pretty common in the church, at least in my circles, where it said, others can, I can't. God puts restrictions sometimes on us. And when I started as an apprentice lineman, I might have told a story. I don't remember what all I said here, but I was an apprentice lineman for the power company. And when you start as an apprentice, you get apprentice's pay. But as you go through the steps and towards being a journeyman, you go A, B, C, you know, you go through all these different steps, your pay increases with each one of those steps. And so my pay began to do pretty good. By the time I got to be a journeyman, the power company had 26 pay groups. And as I was in my 20s, and I was in the top step of pay group 24 when I became a journeyman. So I was making money that people who were there 30 years was making. So I was making a lot of money. But Judy and I, we knew that staying in that job wasn't in our future. And we realized that if we began to live as though this level of income was going to continue forever, that when we want, when the Lord called us out of that job to do something else, we wouldn't be able to do it because of our responsibilities to pay off the expensive house and that boat and my 7 motorcycles and all the stuff that I would have bought with that money. So we made a decision to limit ourselves to apprentice pay. We did other things with that other money. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to get a lot of pats on my back. What I'm saying is that if we didn't do that, when the day came and it was time for me to leave that job, I was able to take a 2/3 pay decrease and step into that. And I was able to do that simply because the Lord says, there's nothing wrong with you making this money, but I don't want you to make that money because you will become, you will be stuck in a lifestyle that you're not going to be able to maintain when I call you out of it. And so sometimes we have to just put things aside. Others can. It's not a matter of sin or not sin. Others can. You just, not you. You can't do that. So people may be called and hopefully chosen, but there's still the one more, and there's this faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is actually a fruit of the Spirit, and it simply means becoming someone that God can rely on, he can count on. In Matthew 25, we see this story Jesus told about the talents, and they gave 5 and 2 and 1 and all of that. And I'm not going to go through all that again because there's much in there, but all I want to pull out of it for today is when the guy with the 5 talents came and he got 5 more, Jesus said, the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." How many of you want to hear that someday? Well done. And so when he gives us something to do, our response is to be faithful to that. Those who will be with him in these last days are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. The ones who are able to continue on. Now, the other words for faithful, some other words are loyal, constant, staunch, steadfast, resolute. So he's looking for us to be faithful in what he's given to us, what he's entrusted with us. Whatever that might be, it might be just in the service that we do. It might be in the resources he gives us. It could be a lot of things. But he wants us to be faithful. And there has to be a track record, a measurable history that God can look at and see our faithfulness. Proverbs 25:19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint." And you just, ouch. You know, I've had over the years, I've had people come and they'd visit the church wherever I was pastoring, and they would come up after and, you know, they'd high-five me, what a great service it was, a great church and all of that. And after a little while, they'd get to the real meat of the matter that they like to preach too. And if I'd like, they were available. And my response was always the same because I didn't know if they had anything to offer or not. I didn't know. So I say, well, you know, here we just kind of go with the flow. Why don't you just come and be part of us and let's just see what happens. And almost every time that was all they needed to hear before they were gone. You know, they were looking for something else. I was looking for people who I could count on. Just do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right thing. You know, if we're faithful in the small stuff, then your pastor, your boss, your family, they're going to notice. And the thing is, we all know people that we can't count on. You would not give them your car keys. You would not ask them to do something because you just know it ain't going to happen. Or it won't happen the way you want it to happen. So we have to have a track record of faithfulness, but we also need to have continued faithfulness. We need to be ongoing in our faithfulness. This might be, for me, this might be the most important part that ministered to me as I was thinking this through, where I am at, the continued faithfulness. What's happened has happened. Am I called? Yes, I'm called. Am I saved? Yes, I'm saved. Was I chosen? Yes, by God's grace, I was chosen. Have I been faithful? Yeah, most of the time. a little here and there. But now I got to go from here forward, from where I am now to the end. And this consumes my thoughts and prayers a lot these days. I'm just wondering, Pastor Dave, when Jesus told Peter and the others in the garden to watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation, I wonder if Peter would have prayed instead of slept, would he have denied Jesus? I don't know. It's just a thought. But to assume that we can just run into the future that's happening, right? There's a seismic shift in the world right now. It's seismic. It's huge. Things are changed in the matter of a few days, and they continue to change. You all remember 9/11, how the world changed in one morning. Well, this is like that. I don't know what it all means. What I do know is that I need to move into the world that is going to happen. I don't get to make the world the way I want it to be. I have to be what God wants me to be in that world. And this consumes me, not consumes me, but it's on my mind a lot because it, you know, one of the things it says in Scripture is he who endures to the end will be saved. There's this endurance that has to happen. And I don't want to wimp out somewhere along the way. I don't want to be the Peter of the 21st century that somehow denies Jesus when the chips were down. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, he says to Timothy, his son, he says, take heed to yourself and to doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So take heed and continue. In Colossians, he writes, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. And so that's all that I said probably comes down to these few verses for most of us. So what is tomorrow going to bring? I don't know. I was so glad at the choice of songs. Because he is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of. He's got it all. He's not surprised by anything. He is in control. He was in control when he was being crucified too, and all of his disciples fled. And so I just don't want to be the person who thinks, yeah, I got this. I want to be faithful. That's what I want to be. I want to walk wherever I'm supposed to walk in the way he wants me to walk there. And whatever that means, that's the scary part because I don't know what that means. I just want to be faithful in it, whatever it is. So it says, looking at that first verse that we looked at, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. This is not maybe. This is for sure. We're on the right side. For he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So I want to be with him. That's all I'm trying to say today. I want to encourage all of us to watch and pray as the disciples were told in the garden. Watch and pray that you don't take for granted that you're going to make it all the way through. You need to watch. You need to pray. And if there's anything along the way, if there's this, you're called, but you've walked away from your relationship with him. It's time to get it right. If you're called and there's something God put upon your life and you haven't been moving into it, it's time to start moving into it in faithfulness. And the reward, I just wanted to put the reward in here. It's worth it. Whatever happens, it's worth it. 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I want to be able to write these words myself. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. That's pretty good words to be able to say, I did it. I ran the race. I got there. I did what he wanted me to do. So I just want to read a quote. I'm coming to the end here. But some of you may know this name, Robert J. Morgan. He is a Christian author. And I have noticed that there's a lot of prophetic activity right now, a lot of people who are prophesying what's going to happen. And I would just encourage everyone to look at their past track record before you put too much stock in their present words. But I'll just leave you to discern those. But this guy's not a prophet. He's an author. He's written a number of books. But he wrote this, and I thought this was a fabulous quote from him. He said, do you know Ukraine is the main missionary sending country for Eastern Europe and Central Asia? One missiologist said, the church is very strong. As far as Europe is concerned, the Ukrainian church is perhaps the strongest and is doing the most for education, training, and sending out workers. A director at Kiev Theological Seminary said, even in the midst of this kind of uncertainty, this kind of ominous threat, students are trying to keep their focus on Jesus. An invasion by Russia is Satan's way of disrupting this. Missionaries have difficult choices about staying or leaving. Putin may not be the Antichrist, but he is an Antichrist. He is anti-Jesus. He is an anti-Jesus man, ruthless intent, who will stop at nothing to reestablish the USSR. He adheres to the Russian Orthodox Church, but remember, the USSR espouses atheism. Events are unfolding on some sort of prophetic timeline, and it behooves us to watch and pray. These are not ordinary times. You and I need to be committed to Jesus, the King of Kings. And I don't know a better way to bring a close to this message, which, as I said in the beginning, was strictly a positional message, to look at where we are and how we are going to remain in the right place, whatever happens, which I have no idea. And I don't pretend to know what's going to happen. I don't know. But I have a couple questions, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to surrender this microphone back to Pastor Dave. So one question to ask yourself, it's interesting because I scribbled these questions down, you know, when I was sitting there and they were coming to me, and now I can't read my writing. This is not uncommon. This happens all the time. Have you purposed in your heart to respond to his call to relationship? Not religion, not just looking good for other people, but in actual, I love that song, show us who you are and fill us with your heart. You know, that those words just really touched me today as we sang, Lord, show me who you are. Walking with you for a long time, but I want to know, I need to know more. I need more of Jesus for the days to come. Have you prepared yourself for service? Is there some distraction, some area of selfishness or self-will that is keeping you from fulfilling the thing that God has designed you for? And I don't think you have to search around. You probably know the things that maybe over time you have wanted to do and maybe some of the things that you have refused to do. But the question is, have you prepared yourself for service to him? The third question is, have you set your heart to be faithful to that calling no matter what? Just to be who he wants you to be no matter what. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we declare that you are Lord of all lords and King of all kings. And all the things, even as the psalmist says, why do the nations rage and people imagine vain things? Lord, you are and always have been in charge. You know what's happening and your hand is on it all. Lord, we do pray for Ukraine today. Lord, we pray for believers there. Lord, we pray that you would rise up. Lord, we hear of miracles you did when during the seven-day war against Israel. Lord, we pray for those kinds of miracles to take place as Ukrainians stand their ground and push back. Lord, help them. Deliver them from this. Lord, your word says, when the enemy shall come in as a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will rise up a standard against it. Lord, we pray that you would rise up a standard against this evil that's trying to take this nation. But Lord, for our own selves, Lord, as we step into the days to come, Lord, none of us really know what tomorrow is going to bring on any day, but things are so uncertain. What is certain, Lord, is that we are responding to your call. Lord, we stand in a place where you can choose us, where you can say yes to our service. And Lord, we stand faithful with your help and by your grace. Until the very end, Lord, we stand faithful before you. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. You can put your own name in there. Say to Mary, say to Eric, say to Wayne, say to Ed, say to Lisa, say to all of us, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. And boy, on that day, I want the Lord to say to me, well done. So, say yes and amen. Called, chosen, and faithful. Thank you, brother. Take that word with you. We are going to be kind of transitioning into lunch today, and I want to thank Shay and the other members of the board who've put that together. We'll be having our annual business meeting, but first we get to have lunch and some fellowship together, and that will be a blessing. But if you have come for prayer today, we always, always, always make time for God to move at the ends of these services. And if you've come with a need, we want to lift that up and believe for the miracle-working power of God. And we believe it. We say we believe it, but we want to make place for that to happen. And so we want to encourage you with that. Since they'll be setting up for food in just a few minutes, we're going to give them the go-ahead for that. Let's pray over our time together. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of the people who have put this lunch together for us. And Father, we thank you for the food. We thank you for the fellowship. We pray that you would bless our time together and for the meeting to come, Father, that we could fellowship and share together and look on the past year and look forward to the year to come and believe you in all of it. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus, come up, and I'm going to ask Tom Brazell, Brother Tom, if you would be available to pray as well today. Thank you, Lord.